Welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Net podcast. This is a podcast of a previously recorded net held on the Minwas reflector and YSF reflector number 21493. For more information, see hamoperator.com. That's hamoperator.com.
This is Otis, W4IOD, and welcome to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society System Fusion Net. This net operates in the Minnesota-Wisconsin room, number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check in through net control. Net control stations this evening are K0ORK, who is rebooting WireZec software, 80MIP, K9EQ, and me. W4IOD, you're in Prop 2 net control. The Bakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Bakken, the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is the founding sponsor of the Pavick Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us the use of his name because he was a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about Bars and Earl at hamoperator.com/ Whiskey Zero, Mike Delta Tango, the 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35 West in Moundsview, Minnesota. The chat window is available at hamoperator.com. Select Minwiz, then Minwiz Chat. First order of business this evening is announcements for the net. Do we have anyone with announcements for the good of net? Please call with your name, your city, and your state.
This is Rick up in central Minnesota, up here at Little Falls, northwest of Minneapolis-St. Paul, and 0BJN. That's November 0, Bravo, Juliet, November.
Well, net control will acknowledge November 0, Bravo, Juliet, November. Good evening, Rick, and hopefully you're doing well this evening. What do you have for us? The floor is yours.
Hi to Otis and everyone on the Midwiz Technical Net here tonight. Thank you so much for being our net control here tonight. Thank you to Chris, K9EQ, for answering all the questions along the way. It's greatly appreciated by the ham radio community. The Ozaki Radio Club 43rd Annual Swap Fest is coming up on Saturday, May 6th. It's being held at the Ascension St. Mary Center in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. Cedarburg is straight north of Milwaukee. It runs from 8 a.m. to noon. Admission is $7. Kids 12 and under are free with a paid adult admission. Tables are $12 in advance or $15 at the door. They'll have door prizes. There'll be food sold by Cub Scout Pack 586. For more info on the Ozaki Radio Club Hamfest on May 6th, check out OzakiRadioClub.org. That's OzakiRadioClub.org for the Ozaki Radio Club 43rd Annual Swap Fest coming up on Saturday, May 6th in Cedarburg, Wisconsin. The Duluth Superior Ham Fest is coming up on Saturday, May 6th. It's being held at the Head of the Lakes Fairgrounds in the Multi-Purposes Building. The address is 4700 Tower Avenue in Superior, Wisconsin. It runs from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Admission is $10. Kids 12 and under are free. There'll be a VE testing. There'll be hourly drawings and a $500 grand prize. For more info on the Duluth Superior Ham Fest on Saturday, May 6th, visit their website. It is thearac.org. Phonetically, the website is Tangle, Hotel, Echo, Alpha, Romeo, Alpha, Charlie.org. And that is for the Duluth Superior Ham Fest coming up on Saturday, May 6th in Superior, Wisconsin. Otis, I'll let the system reset, and I'll be right back with one more HamFest announcement for the group. The big Dayton Xenia, Ohio HamFest is coming up on May 19th through May 21st. Being held at the Green County Fair and Expo Center. The address is 210 Fairgrounds Road in Xenia, Ohio. This is the big one with tons of cool stuff to check out. For more info on the Dayton and Xenia, Ohio HamFest, visit their website at hamvention.org. That's hamvention.org. And finally tonight, folks that want to scope out Fusion Digital Net, we have our Dark Digital Net every Saturday night, 8:15 p.m. Central Time, over in the Dark Room 2. It is room 40012. It's also available off the FCS 004-29. And you can get there off the Echo Link as well, under N0BJN-Alpha Link, node 925804. Any and all stations are welcome. Thank you so much, Otis, for letting me come on. We'll send it back to you. Thanks to your crew there for being here every week. From Rick in Central Minnesota, up here at Little Falls, N0BJN.
N0BJN, W4IOD returning. And we appreciate you showing up with good information on the HamFest and the activities going on in the amateur radio community. Rick, appreciate you being there and making those announcements. We'll break with Rick. It looks like Chris is slated, and I'll go ahead and make this announcement, and hopefully I don't steal any of Chris's thunder because I know he has some information to share with the net. But I guess I'm running behind in regards to some of the promotions that Yaesu is currently doing, and they've got off to somewhat of a late start on this, and some of it is just because Odie's been asleep at the wheel. Spring Savings, the instant coupon program is available in the United States and Canada, so basically North America. For anyone else, contact your local dealer for any details. For the cashback promotion in Europe, I think it's yaesu.uk/rebate.papahotelpapa. April 1st through June 18th. Why June 18th? I have no idea. 2023. The FTDX 101MP, $300 off. The FTDX 101D, $200 off. The FTDX 10, $100 off. The FT710, $100 off. The FTM200DR, $50 off, and the FT5DR, $50 off. And no instant savings on the new radio, the FTM500. I'm sure there will be some specials around May 19th and the Hamvention that Rick mentioned. Also, the DR2X repeater program is back. It started April 10th and runs through June 30th, 2023. $700 for the DR2X without the LAN unit, $900 for the DR2X with the LAN unit. No trade-ins accepted. And for those interested in that, I will post the link in the ham operator chat room. And that's all I have in regards to announcements. I'm going to turn it over to my esteemed colleague and friend out in Escondido, California, K9EQ. Good evening or good afternoon for you on the West Coast there, Chris. Go ahead and take it.
Okay. Thank you, Odie. Got a couple things to mention. First off, the FTM 500 has hit the airwaves. The data shows we've had two folks on MinWiz with an FTM 500, so hopefully we have a few people out there that are I've got the new radios and can comment on them. And already there's some reports of some bugs and stuff, so we'll talk about that later on in the net. Worldwide Tea Hunt, the CQ Magazine Worldwide Tea Hunt is this coming weekend, May 8th. And we may want to pay some attention to that. And where'd my little announcement thing go? Anyway, you can just look for CQ Magazine Worldwide Tea Hunt, and that will bring up some information. Give you an idea of some of the stuff that's going on. It's not on May 8th. It's on Saturday, May 20th, kind of like a hams in the park that isn't. There is a San Diego tea hunt group. Yeah, who knew? And at Balboa Park, they're doing an international-style on-foot tea hunt. It's kind of interesting how it works. They start at, say, 10:30. And people start at 5-minute intervals, and everybody has to complete by 3 p.m. There are 5 hidden transmitters, and basically sending Morse code. You'll get a punch card and some other stuff, and your job is to go out and find all the 5 hidden transmitters. And even though you're on foot and walking around and you know about where they are, it can apparently be pretty challenging. If you're interested in, well, I can put the links up somewhere. Hamburger, I guess. It's just interesting what they're doing. I didn't even know there was a San Diego Tea Hunt group, so I have to check that out. Tea hunting's fun. I've done that in the past. It's been many, many, many years. There are different types of tea hunts, or you drive around in a car and try to find the transmitter. There used to be a very aggressive tea hunt thing that happened in Southern California, where the hidden transmitter could be anywhere in Southern California. So it was a good bet that at the starting point, yeah, you never even heard the transmitter because it could be 150 miles away. And they got found. Yeah, dedicated people. Just a reminder, field day is coming up. June 24th and 25th, so start polishing off your CW keys or whatever you need to do to get ready for field day. Also, another thing, if you happen to know somebody who's 18 to 20 years old and they want to learn about the electromagnetic spectrum, the National Radio Astronomy Observatory Program is looking for students. So they're going to get 20 students, 18 to 20, as I said, with an interest in learning about the electromagnetic spectrum and amateur radio and obtaining the ham radio license. The program begins in September and runs until May of 2024. The students get a stipend of $4,000 over the 40-week period. They meet weekly to learn more about the magnetic spectrum and different variety of STEM-type fields. They get to engage with scientists and engineers. They receive cool technology and tools. Their work is cool. And learn about advancing towards a STEM career. And they have to take a technician class license. There's a URL here. I won't repeat it here. I'll put it up on hamoperator.com, and I'll paste these URLs also into the chat box, which we have at hamoperator.com. So if you know somebody, or if you are 18 to 20 years old, you might want to check into that. So it's 20 students. This is the second batch, I guess, that's gone through this program. Sounds like a good deal. Cool stuff and $4,000. And you learn a bunch of stuff and play with scientists. What could be better? Some may have noticed that the MinWiz-CA, the backup is gone. Successfully transitioned back to the main computer. Some interesting things to note there. Maybe I'll pass them along at some point. But SSDs aren't necessarily more reliable than hard drives. So that's it. Back to you, Odie, K90Q.
Well, K9EQ, W4IOD returning. Thank you, Chris, for the updates and the information on the programs there. And I'll make this last call for any announcements. And then with none heard, we'll turn it back over to the proper net control. If you need, if you have an announcement for the good of the net, name, city, and state. Please call net control now.
Good evening, Cody from KZ8YQL, built in Ohio. Please give me an audio check. My audio might not sound so good.
Well, I guess it came back to me. This is Truck K04K taking over as net control. We got the local repeater booted back up and on the line, and it looks like Bill was here. Bill, your audio is horrid. You are so overmodulated, and you just about wrecked everybody's speaker on the whole net. So turn it way down and try again in a couple minutes. I'm going to see if anybody else out there has a comment or a question for the net. We're taking comments or questions for the net. Name, city, and state. Go ahead now.
J3FZZP, Steve, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
All right, Kilo 3, Fox Zulu Tango, Steve, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Go ahead with your comment or question for that, sir.
Well, I took delivery of an FTM 500, and I read, and then I didn't do what I knew better. I updated my WiresX software from 1.540 to 1.550. And I'm here to tell everyone that even though some old folks who know better after 40 years of software do dumb things, because now all my port forwarding reporting anyway is not working, and indeed the list of nodes is not showing, but otherwise the node appears to be working normally. So just thought I'd share that. Steve in Northwest Philly, K3FZT.
All right, Steve. Your story sounded like you bought an FTM 500 and it made your node stop working. But yeah, I understand you decided to do the update so that your node would work with the 500. And sorry you're having issues. I'm sure there will be something to work it out, but don't know what. Good luck, and if you find the fix, let us know on the next net that you check in at. Anybody else out there with a comment or question, this is your chance. Name, city, state. Go ahead.
Here's my audio tonight. Now there, Chopper, is it okay? Maybe I want Tudor now. KZ8YQL with a net announcement. Yeah, you can hear me now.
All right, you sound significantly better, Bill. KC8YQL, why don't you go ahead with your announcement now.
hooked up on that new 500 diesel. I can't hardly wait to crank the volume level up on it at the Dayton Ham Fest when John hopefully will be showing us that radio. I can't hardly stand it there, Chuck. And Chris. And Odie. If Odie can hear me. Maybe he didn't hear me when I tried to check in with them. So, you know, I'm really, really, really looking forward to... Now I'm hearing the audio coming out of the front firing speakers of that radio. You guys can help me out. I know Chris probably knows the answer to this. I think there's a stereo chipset in that radio. I think the AF. That's probably got two amplifiers on it. So, I don't know if you guys remember the FTM-350R. That had twin speakers in the back of the head. And when you put FM wide mode, you can actually listen to FM broadcast. 500's going to do that, too. The other announcement, that really wasn't the announcement. Here's the real announcement there, Chuck. You know, we've had Dayton Ham Venture for how many years? And all the big three, including Alinco, has been there every year. Rock solid every year. Until Kenwood left us here about 3-4 years ago. So there's a lot of speculation that Kenwood was going to go out of the amateur radio marketplace. So there's my announcement. I'm very, 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 very excited. C. Kenwood back at Dayton Ham Fest coming up on May the 19th, 20th, and 21st, next month. We'll see some of you guys there. I'll be over there checking that 500 audio out. See if we hear some stereo audio coming out of them front firing speakers. Man, I can't wait to hear that. And Chuck, I hope you're hearing me okay. This is the first time I've ever checked in with you guys on SpaceX's Starlink. I'm using the Starlink satellite right now. Hopefully it's not too bad.
Back to you, sir. All right. Well, thank you, Bill. And you don't sound too bad for being on Starlink and working for you there. Anybody else with a comment or a question for the net? If you've got one, this is your chance. Go ahead now. Name, city, state.
K9EQ.
All right, K9EQ, Chris, go ahead and take it. What do you got for us tonight?
Well, according to the hamoperator.com, we've had two people fire up their FKM 500s and show up on Minwas here. That would be KC8I, number one. He got there first, so he gets a prize. And second place is AB8TD. And I'm just wondering if either of those guys are around, or in fact, anybody who has an FKM 500 that wants to talk about it. Should mention that the WiresX software got updated, as they say, to version 1.55. It was at version 1.54. And it probably got updated about the same time the FTM 500 radios were released from embargo. So what happens, the radios get shipped out to the dealers, but the dealers aren't allowed to, you know, ship any of them to anybody until the embargo passes. In the past, Yaesu has done an update to the WiresX software to accommodate the new radios. And what happens is in that software, where they see the transmitter ID, the first two characters of the transmitter ID indicate what kind of radio it is. And the last three characters are, like, totally random. And if you go to hamoperator.com, you go to MinWiz, at the live data, and you do something like click on last heard, what you can see are the people who have been on MinWiz and you can see their transmitter ID or DP ID, as Yaesu calls it, and then the website's interpretation of which radio that is, plus at the top of the page there's the total of all the radios. And so that the website got updated to accommodate the FTM 500 with its new ID. And the Fusion Help section, we have a few other documents that deal with the coming and passing of radios and stuff, and those will get updated. They haven't been updated to handle the FTM 500. So as far as I know, that's the main update to the WiresX software. I'm not aware of any. I'm not aware of any thing that's been done that is essential as far as new features and things like that. The FTM 500, of course, its main claim to fame is the control head. And so essentially what's different in the radio is a new interface for the control head to handle the additional power and the fact that you can plug the microphone into the control head. So there has to be audio going back to the radio. It's probably all done over the serial communication bus and then the speaker system in there. And I'm pretty sure what Yaesu is using is a pretty much an off-the-shelf chipset to do the audio. It's become a common practice, with all the Bluetooth and all this kind of stuff with audio, to have your amplifier chip actually do signal processing and a lot of other things. And so it just sounds to me like Yaesu's taken an existing chipset and built that into their equipment, and that chipset provides some of the stuff you can do with equalization and so forth and so on, and the stereo effect. Never really was sure that that's terribly useful. But essentially the FTM 500 is an FTM 300 as far as the radio goes. You know, the RF performance isn't going to be any different. There really isn't anything the 500 can do that the 300 can't do from a technical perspective. But other convenience features, I guess I would say, in the FTM 500, you know, slightly better display, although still pretty small, a knob, almost the size of the display, and then the audio stuff. So if you have an FTM 300 and you've got the microphone worked out so it's where you need the microphone to be, and you've worked it out so you've got a speaker where the speaker needs to be, you get most of the benefit. Yeah, I'll just mention that it has a touch screen. The FTM 300 doesn't. The FTM 300 kind of regressed because prior radios had a touch screen. And then because the screen on the 300 is so small, you really couldn't make it a touch screen and expect people to be able to use it in the car. So, Chuck, I'll send it back to you. Maybe we can roust up some people with 500s to talk about them. This is K9EQ.
Thank you, Chris. I'll send that call out right now. So if you do have an FTM 500 and you'd like to give us any user information on that, check in now. Name, city, state. Anybody with a 500 that wants to give us a little user information, go ahead now. Name, city, state.
This is AV8DT, Ron, in Cedar Springs, Michigan.
All right, Alpha Bravo 8 Delta Tango, Ron, Cedar Springs, Michigan. Go ahead, what do you got for us on the 500?
Yeah, good evening, Chuck, and everyone else on that. Yeah, it's a fine little radio. I mean, you're getting, everybody was saying, you know, the 300 into the 500 package, bigger control head, and I think the interface is very user-friendly, able to program it very well. The radio. You got two different forms of getting into the menu or the functions, and the quick function is you can program it to your liking. Pretty much, there's a set list of things you can put into that quick menu, and to make things a little easier to operate. And if you sit down and figure out which ones that you want to keep and which ones you don't, it's a handy little function. And then the sub menu vehicle that's underneath the bottom right hand side, when you're into the menu, you can jump from the main topics and then go to your sub topics with the vehicle up on the top right hand side. So navigation is pretty easy. I can see it being pretty useful in the mobile, or you know, I got it in my office. So I think eventually I'd like to get one for the mobile also. But the speaker is loud, and it's got some pretty decent audio to it. And as far as being stereo, I don't think it's intended to be stereo. I mean, it has different characteristics per speaker that's built into the unit itself. So it's not like you're hearing A and B VFO on different speakers. It's all coming through the same one. It's just more high fidelity. And I haven't tried to plug in the FCU20 and the audio yet. I'll do that tomorrow. And since I'm not using Windows 11, just using Windows 10. So I don't think I need the new SCU-56. So back to that before I time out. KB8DT.
All right, Ron. Well, thanks for the heads up on how it's going with that. Sounds like it does have some interesting features, and adding two of those together. Hopefully, Yesu's working some of the bugs out also. Anybody else with an FT-500 that wants to talk? Now's your chance. Name, city, state, go ahead.
Yeah, K90Q.
All right, Chris, go ahead and take it. K0-4K.
Okay, not on an FTM-500. I'm not planning on getting one. What I have found on the net are some problems, and this is kind of typical with a new radio, that you will shortly be getting a firmware update, because this the radios that people have really are the first production run, I think. Well, close to it anyway. At least for the U.S. market. Apparently, one of the things is you have a weather radio thing in there of some sort. And one thing that's different is that's enabled by default. And so one fellow reported that the P4 key on the button is factory preset to the weather. So I'm taking it, I'm guessing then that the P4 key that like is programmable on the FTM-400 is not programmable on the 500. It activates the NOAA weather frequencies. And what this one fellow found out is that when he does that, there isn't any audio output. However, if you enter the same frequency into the VFO, you get audio. So he sent an email off to Yesu, and they're scratching their head about that. Well, they duplicated the problem. And it's related to the weather alert menu setting 51. That's the thing that is turned on by default. Not sure that's the way I would have done it. Apparently, the second issue that the fellow had is a volume control locking up. And He apparently, yeah, locked up the radio. Power cycling did not help. He had to do a factory reset. And it's with the sub, I guess the subband volume control locking up. Doesn't know exactly what's involved in making that happen, but when it happens, you're done. You have to do a factory default reset. So apparently not good. There's another thing about the volume control. So you can turn an equalizer on and off. The FT5 had an equalizer that you could turn on and off as well. And if you remember back to the power analysis I did, I thought having that equalizer on would burn more battery power, but it does not. So if you think your FT5 doesn't have enough oomph on the base, go check the equalizer settings. So what happens is with the equalizer turned off, the A-band and the B-band volume controls work as you might expect them to. However, when the equalizer is turned on, they are now joined at the hip. So if you change the volume on one channel, you change the volume on the other channel. Apparently, weather alert function being on by default is only in the U.S. version that has that turned on by default. I do not understand that. Apparently, a reread of the manual and the equalizer indicates that the volume controls being locked together when the equalizer is on is a design feature. This one fellow here said it was probably okay. He understands why it was done, but, you mostly just mute the other band anyway, I guess. So apparently people running APRS on the subband and not being able to turn down the volume of that band is a bit annoying. I would agree. So, Ron, ABADT, if you're still around, I have a question for you. And if you don't know the answer, you've got homework. Are you there, Ron?
Yes, sir, I'm still here.
We require data, sir. There's been some debate, and there's some, how the wording is on whatever. So the 500, like the 300, can receive digital on both the A and the B band, and transmit digital on both the A and the B band. The word simultaneous gets used a lot, and the question is, what do they mean by simultaneous? Does that mean you can actually hear the audio from a C4FM station, a different C4FM station on the A and the B band, so you can hear two people talking in the digital at the same time, or whether just the selected band takes a priority and the other band never gets decoded, no matter how you've got the muting set, which is how it works on the FT5. So can you enlighten us to that?
Yeah, I guess that's something I'm going to have to check out in the morning and turn on my hotspot while get some traffic on, do the local repeater here, and listen to both at the same time and see what I can hear. So there's my homework. And then a comment to your the lockup. The lockup on the volume is A and B. Basically, when the equalizer is on, you turn up the volume on the on A band. B band will turn up at the same time. So if they weren't independent, but once you turn the equalizer off and they go back to independent, volume controls on the left hand upper and lower knobs there. So that's what I think that guy, he was just trying to see if he reset it, if that would help it. But it's when the equalizer is on, it's controlling both A and B at the same time. For as far as the volume control goes, so I'll have to report back with the if you can hear the signal at the same time. on C4FM. Back to that.
Oh, okay, Ron, I see what you're saying. I was thinking the old radio locked up, but yeah, you're right. You're probably right. Yeah, check that P4 key on the microphone to see if that is, like, you can set that. I'm supposed to look at the manual, but I guess maybe I don't care enough. Because it's nice to have as many of those buttons configurable as you can have. And if one is dedicated to weather, that kind of sucks. Because the one on my microphone sets the PL tone, which I prefer more, because I've never yet turned on the weather function. Okay, Ron, thanks very much for that. Glad we have somebody in the know with the money and the resultant radio and can lead the pack and let us know all about it. Let's see. Okay. I guess maybe another question for you, Ron, I'm guessing, is what is the SDX button? You know, radios have a DX button, but what is an SDX button? Can you help on that? Okay, maybe we lost Ron there. Okay, Pete's saying it's an algorithm that checks the GPS for your current location and automatically connects you to the WireSex room with the GPS coordinates furthest away from yours? Do you mean like in Australia? Huh. Super DX is what it stands for. Oh, good God. All right. Any more comments on the 500? Please direct them to Chuck. This is K90Q.
I'm back to if I didn't hold down my handheld button good and I wasn't transmitting.
Okay, that's fine. We got the question answered. 73K90Q.
You did get the question about the SDX. Maybe you can answer that one. Why don't you go ahead?
And I put that to my power setting. So I never noticed that that issue that was going on. And then the SDX is supposed to increase your sensitivity on the digital so you can hear a further out station. Back to that AB8DT.
All right, thank you, Ron, and have fun with your homework. Is there anybody else out there with a comment or a question for the net? This is your chance. Name, city, state, go ahead. All right, hearing nothing but crickets out there, we're going to bring the net to a close. Remember, we meet here every Monday night at 7:30 Central Time and cover all things Fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. This was Chuck, K04K, and everyone have a great week. 7-3 all.
You have been listening to a podcast of the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Technical Net. This net is held on Mondays, 7:30 p.m. Central Time, and it is available on the MinWiz WireSX reflector at 21493 or the YSF reflector at 21493. There's also a chat box where you can communicate with the net operators during the net. That's at hamoperator.com. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and I hope you'll be back for others. For more information, do see hamoperator.com. 73 from K9EQ.